Turn to Matthew 6:6, and then we're going to be in Mark 4. You know, when we first started this ministry, we started in Mark 4. We taught all around Mark 4. Your Bible would have fell open to Mark 4 in the early days. You should know Mark 4 by memory. And we thought, man, we just gleaned it and gleaned it and gleaned it, and then it just popped right open yesterday in a brand new way. And I said, God, how can that be? I must have taught that chapter 100 times. 100 times at least. And now look at it there. But you know, Revelation is progressive. Certain things, if you don't have understanding of other things, you can't fully understand. He had to take us a big, long 360-degree journey, big circle, and he brought us back. And it is really amazing what's in that chapter. And today we're going to explore, but I'm going to start with Matthew 6:6 because I want to share something with you. One of the things that I have learned over really seeking the Lord for a long time and exploring different gateways of the Lord, as you know, we explore the right hand of God. But this particular prayer the Lord spoke about here in Matthew 6, it's very important if you're going to have the kingdom of God flow through your life. You're going to have to learn to move into the dimension of the heart. Everything takes place in the heart. And you have to move and operate from the heart. For many years, when I was exercising faith, I exercised faith out here. I tried to generate faith from this position. All I can say is right here. I was trying to work myself up. I was trying to work a level that was more to do with the exterior environment than the interior environment. And I missed it for many years, because if you exercise faith out here, the enemy, that's his playground. That's where he comes. That's where he'll wrap a 24-hour-a-day circumstance around you. That's where oppression is. That's where unbelief, that's where fear resides. And you're constantly battling an atmospheric, even in the ministry, I was always battling an atmospheric thing, trying to generate the atmosphere. It's a lot of work. You can do it, but it takes a tremendous amount of work to do that. And a high level of discipline to keep a control of your atmosphere. You have to fast continually. You're keeping your body under all these things just to keep this atmosphere of faith alive. Otherwise, you sink. When you start sinking, the general result of it is you just give up. You get neutralized. You get in that position where, you know, God will do it when he gets ready to do it one day, someday. And you just get in that, and then you get in complacent and indifferent. Once you're in that position, nothing can really birth from that position. If you notice, God never rides in on a white horse when you're in the position of complacency or indifference. He doesn't. But I'll tell you what does ride in. You think the enemy will leave you alone when you get like that. He won't. He'll keep hammering you and hammering you and hammering you until you decide, I don't want to be hammered anymore. And then enough pain, you'll get going. You'll get back up in there. But that's hard work. I'm going to teach you a better way. Amen. But you've got to learn this. This is a place that's so marvelous. You can go in and the enemy has no access when you really get in there. So Matthew 6 verse 6. It says, but thou, when you prayest, you can say any time you prayest, enter into thy closet where your shoes and your jeans and your shirts are. Of course, providing if you have a closet. How many of you know that's not the closet he's talking about? That closet means the inner chamber of the house or the temple. You are the temple of the living God. Enter into the inner chamber. Now listen, before anything I tell you today or anything I've been preaching to you lately, if you don't go to that place, none of this stuff will work. Because most of the kingdom of God is designed to function from this place in the heart. You enter into this inner chamber, and he says, enter into that closet and shut the door. That means you're moving from one jurisdiction to another. When you shut the door, and thy Father, which is in secret, he's there. You got to move into that place of the heart. If you don't learn to move there, you're going to miss a whole lot. of the kingdom of God. And what you're going to do is operate exteriorly all the time. And you're going to be subject to a whole lot of circumstances. And your faith will never really function and operate very well because you're constantly being barraged by exterior forces because you've not learned to move into a place where they can't go. That's why he said, shut the door. You've got to learn to move into that place. I'll tell you what taught me how to do that was the series, The Blessings in the Water. That series, more than anything, taught me how to move into the interior kingdom of God. Once you learn to move in there, you're going to understand how the kingdom works and what I'm going to talk to you today about. That is the preface, the foundation. When you pray, the first thing you got to do is move into that place. Amen. That's a gate, by the way. You've got to learn to move through that gate. You don't move in the things of the kingdom by natural touch, taste, feel, and smell. You can't move in the kingdom like that. You move in the kingdom by faith and faith alone. You move in by promise. You move in by word. You move in by desire. But you got to open that gate. And that's not natural for you. It wasn't natural for me. And so the Lord taught me how to do it. But once you learn how to go into that place, that gate will start opening. It'll be very easy to go in. Any gate that's closed in your life, you can't just walk right through. You've got to open that gate first, and then you'll have access in and out. Jesus said, I am the door. You'll come in and out, in and out, in and out. You're not walking in and out of a spiritual door in your natural body, your natural touch, taste, feel, but you will feel it. Once you move into, you shut the door. You're moving out of the jurisdiction of the earth into the jurisdiction of the kingdom. Now, that's where you got to learn to operate. That's when your faith will come alive in the operation I'm going to talk to you about today. You ready? All right, go to Mark chapter 4. I like this chapter now. Now that I understand it. Like I said before, the big problem with our faith is we're trying to make a stand of faith when we're out of position. You don't try to make a stand just because a circumstance comes your way and you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and the mountain doesn't move. Just because you decided to wake up one day and say the name of Jesus, you should be exercising faith before the storm comes, because faith is a progressiveness in your life. It builds and grows in you, as we're going to see today. Amen. But actually, this new place I found, it's my favorite thing to do. My absolute favorite thing to do in all my life is move into this interior room and hold or keep the word of God. Mark 4, he talks about the sower sows the word. And he goes in verse 3, he says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, and it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. It yielded no fruit, and others fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Some 30. 30-fold means 100% times 30. 60-fold means 100% times 60. 100-fold means 100% times 100. You know, 100-fold is 100%. 100% is 1-fold times 100. That's 10,000% increase. How many could use a 10,000% increase? I could use a 10,000% increase. Now, he's going to tell you. He's talking about the kingdom here. And he said in them, verse 9, so we're going to pick it up. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And said unto him, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So you think only these 12 are supposed to know this. But if you really understand what he's saying, look at the next verse. that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. What he was really saying is those that are born again, those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, have their sins converted. Only those people, you and I, people that are born again, can truly understand the mystery of the kingdom. That's why, because all this other stuff is done in parables. That's why when a sinner or an unsaved man, you hear these people all say, yeah, I read the whole Bible through. Yeah, but you're not going to get the mystery of this kingdom trying to decipher it from mental intellect. This word does not produce anything from your mind first. It'll use your mind, but it's your spirit first. The word employs your spirit and your heart, not your mind. You can get all the knowledge in the world and never see this kingdom function and operate through your life. It took me a long time. Man, I've been studying the Bible for a long time. But the Bible does not function from the mind. It functions from the heart. The word of living God, the word of living God comes forth from the heart. It's sown into the heart. It will release from the heart, from that place I just told you where you have to go in and shut the door. That place is where God lives. That place is where the word of God is sown. That's the place where it all is going to happen. Amen. That's the place you're going to unlock it. Let's look at this now. Verse 13. And he said to them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Listen, if you don't know what this one's talking about, how are you going to know anything about my kingdom? Because this is it, is what he's saying. How are you going to know it? Any of them, if you don't know this, how are you going to know? I said, Lord, there's got to be more in here. He said, yep, there is. A whole lot more. And so Jesus begins to expound. Now, to get the fullness, say fullness, you're going to have Mark 4, you can write this down, Luke 8, and Matthew 13. All three of those chapters, he's talking about the same parable. Matthew 13, Luke 8. Luke and Matthew give some extra things here that Mark left out. They're pretty big. Amen? So Jesus is going to explain this, and we're going to get in on his explanation. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown where? In their heart. Where does God sow the word? Where is it going to spring out from? It's going to spring up from the heart because it was sown in the heart. That's why you've got to move. See, when you're in the world, you're taught. I mean, everything. The highest priority is given on the education of the mind. Very little priority is given on education of the spirit. The problem is the kingdom operates predominantly from the heart, not the mind. And you got to make that shift. But when you have spent all your life educating the mind, it's very hard to drop down in this operation because this is a position of the spirit. You got to be able to move into that place by faith. But what we like to do is revert back to the mind. But that's not where the word's going to produce from. It's not going to produce out of the mind. You're going to get your mind renewed to understand how the kingdom works. But the kingdom predominantly is going to flow out of the heart, that inner chamber. You've got to move into that place for any of this to happen. That's why it's not happening, because we're not moving in the heart first. I know that's good. Everyone say amen. So I want two things to look at. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And then Satan cometh in, what? Immediately? Do you know why he comes immediately? He's not really afraid of you, my friends. I know that all this warfare you experience, it really has very little to do with you other than he just hates you because you're born again. But It has everything to do with that word. Because when the word is just sown in the mind, you're never going to experience this explosion of life that's in the word. What I want to do is get you in touch with the explosion of life, because I just recently found it. The word is living. He said, my words are spirit and they are life to those that find them. You got to have to find where that happens. Otherwise, it's just going to be mere knowledge. And mere knowledge is you're going to go, oh, that's really good, Pastor. Thank you for that sermon. God bless you today. But if you learn where this word is truly planted, how to get it planted in the right place, it will explode on the inside of you. It'll release its image. It'll release its life. It'll release its faith. You don't have to generate the faith. I spent many years trying to generate an atmosphere. Constantly fighting atmospheres to keep myself in this primed up place all the time. When all I had to do is go into the inner chamber and just hold the word there. Once I learned to hold the word there, the word had faith enough. It had the life enough. It has it all in it. It's packed in it. I just had to get it in the right place, and then it started exploding. It starts releasing the life. It starts releasing the faith. Faith is building so strong on the inside, I could care less what's going on the outside. Because what's going on in here is soon going to be out here. And I'm not moved anymore. I know where that place is. Against hope, believed in hope, became the father of many nations. I know where that place is. Staggering not at the promise of God. You're not going to live there working an exterior faith. You will stagger. With an exterior faith, you're going to stagger. Because you don't know how to move out of this dimension. The enemy will constantly barrage. You will stagger. But if you know how to move in and shut the door, there's a place where you won't stagger. No more staggering. Booyah! So the sower sow the word, and the enemy comes. He taketh away the word. He wants to snatch that out before anything releases from it. I'm finding one word, not W-R-O-D. Usually when the word comes, it could be 10 messages, but the Holy Spirit brings it as a word. Like Mount Hebron, he brought to me as a word and exploded it 6 years ago. But after all that warfare and all that, Ishmael and Amalek and all of these different things, after a while, this became mere knowledge. Just another revelation to stick on the shelf. But I realize now, it was more than just a word. It was a full panoramic image of the kingdom of God. And it had all the inheritance of the right hand of God in it when the Holy Spirit brought it down. I just didn't know what to do with it. I had it in knowledge. I had it in revelation. I wanted to write a book so everybody can say, oh, what a great revelation. Not that I could produce it or anything. Now we're learning how to do it. Amen. Now, we're going to look at Luke chapter 8 and Matthew 13. It says, now the sower sowed the word. I want to look at Luke 8 first. I want to look at some interesting things here. Luke 8 verse 11. You're going to just need, might as well put a marker in there because we're going to be going through all three of these today. Put a marker in Luke 8. Put one in, put your finger in Matthew 13. Let's look at Luke 8, verse 11. Exact same parable. He's going to say it a little differently. He said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. How many know when a seed has the very image of what is supposed to be all programmed inside it? Do you know when Jesus ascended into the right hand of God and be therefore exalted to the right hand of God, having received of the promise of the Holy Spirit? He says, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he said, he will receive of mine all things the Father has are mine. Holy Spirit will receive of mine. He'll show it to you. Literally, the Lord handed him his inheritance in the form of the word. When he comes into your life, the Holy Spirit, to deposit a living word, a living revelation. It's not just so you can have knowledge. Within the seed or within that living word that's deposited within your heart, heart. It has the full inheritance locked into the image of the seed. It has the life. It has the increase. It has the multiplication. It has the breakthrough. It has the pre-programmed image locked in the seed, and he deposits it into your heart. He puts it in there. The seed is the word of God, but the word of God's carrying of his fullness. We have received the way you receive it is in the seed. But when that seed gets unlocked, or it gets stolen, or it gets choked, or it gets neutralized, or it gets counterfeited with Ishmael, counterfeited with Amalek. You go through all that. The seed can't be working, the seed of promise, and Ishmael working at the same time. One's going to take a back seat to the other. If Ishmael's working, the seed has to withdraw. Been through that? Got that t-shirt? Been through choking? Been through the counterfeits where the word came in and it was just choke. I've had it stolen. You ever gone through these major storms and now you just come out of the storm and you're just lucky to be alive? If I'm coming to church, I'll sit on the back row and leave when I want to, thank you very much, and show up when I want to. Because that's your attitude after that. You say, you're lucky I'm just here. Because after you go through that storm, you've been beat up. There's nothing there. The enemy doesn't snatch everything out of you. You don't know that storm came to steal what was going on in your heart because it was a threat to him. Because it was a threat. He doesn't really care what you look like afterward. He's going to keep beating until he gets that word. Because that word is the only thing that's going to defeat his kingdom. You're not going to defeat him. You think that the latest, greatest personality is going to defeat the kingdom because they know how to just present something called the gospel? Have you seen lately how we present it? We look like the world. You can't even tell the difference. That's not ever going to win the world. It's that inheritance locked up in that word. And after a while, you're going to have to learn to keep it. You're going to have to learn to guard it. You're going to have to learn that it is more valuable than anything else. Your whole future revolves in that living word. The seed, it's in the seed. I've learned a whole lot more to protect this place and stop trying to build something out here so much. Because when this one gets loosed, it will build for me. I just had to learn how to get it loose. I've been spending a long time, all of us have, going down a journey. How do I get this seed unlocked? I know where it came from. It came down from the right hand of God. The Holy Ghost brought it down. Matthew chapter 13. Oh, I like this one. I never saw this one. You're going to like this, Pastor Chuck. Matthew 13, verse 19. Now, this is the same chapter. I want you to see how Matthew describes this. This one set me through the roof. When anyone heareth, now, Mark 4 calls it the sower sowed the word. Luke 8 said the seed is the word of God. Now, Matthew describes it like this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Say word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. When this sower sowed the word, the Holy Ghost brought the word of the kingdom. I'm telling you what he's putting inside you is more than a W-O-R-D. He's put the word of the, because that word that he's bringing, that seed has the kingdom of God. It came straight down out of the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit brought it. He said he would receive a mind. He's going to come and show it, declare it, disclose it, transmit it, the word of the kingdom. I'm going to deposit it, the word of the kingdom. And if you know how to keep it, if you know how to guard it, if you know how to feed it, it'll release. It has faith in it. It has life in it. It has increase in it. It has divine multiple kingdom of God's locked up into it. That's what you don't know. That's why the devil comes immediately, because he knows it. He coming to steal it. If he can't steal it, he's going to try to choke it out of you. Get you so busy, you don't know what to do. If he can't choke it, he's going to try to block it with some trespasses, with some offenses, with some unforgiveness. That'll block the kingdom of God in a heartbeat. I don't care how much word you've got in your heart. You got trespasses, unforgiveness, resentments. You're all blocked up. You're barricaded. He won't come out. He says, just barricade them. They got a spirit of offense. If you got a capacity to be offended, guess what? The devil's going to line them up. They're coming to your doorstep, knocking on your door. I'm here to offend you today. Knock, knock, knock. I'm here to offend you tomorrow. Knock, knock, knock. You that carry the living word of God in your heart will provoke a warfare from the enemy. He will come. You don't have to go looking. He's coming. The first thing he's going to do is try to barricade the operation of your heart. Barricade the operation of that word. If he can't steal it, if he can't choke it out of you, he's going to barricade your heart with unforgiveness, resentment, offense. That's why the Holy Ghost spent months on that operation of trespasses. If you haven't heard that, you need to hear it. It's a lifestyle. That's why Jesus said, if I forgive seven times a day, he said, no, how about seven times 70? You might as well understand. It's a lifestyle, because if you're going to have the kingdom flowing through you, you cannot afford to have an offense. Boy, they like to creep in real easy. They'll walk in your house on your telephone. You have your house all buried, ain't nothing going to get in, and somebody just call up in there, and shoo, there he comes. Who, there he is. Comes through the internet. Comes through the phone. Comes from your friends. Have you heard what they did today? No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, because I don't want to get all blockaded. See, I don't want that. If you walk around hurt and bruised, a hurt and wounded person is never going to bring forth the kingdom of God, because the enemy will barricade their heart. Because you know, if you're hurt, it's very hard to release the one that's hurt you. That's why you got to get healed at all costs. You got to keep it, guard it, protect it. The word of the kingdom. This is when the Holy Spirit's depositing revelation in you. It has the kingdom in it. It will release the kingdom through it if you know what to do with it. Thank God Mark 4 is going to tell us what to do with it. Amen? Oh, we're so close. Now that I found out all this stuff lives up in the heart. Woo! Hallelujah. We're not so close. It's here. Everyone say, it's here. I know where to look now. I'm not looking for revival into tomorrow, someday. I'm not looking into yesterday. I'm not looking in for the depths. I'm not even having to go up to heaven. He brought it down in the form of a living word. I know where it lives. It's going to break free and loose from this place right here, if it's properly kept and allowed to grow up and expand enough where it can break out. That's why I said in the beginning, you have to learn to operate from the heart. If you don't, you're going to constantly live out here. And when you live out here, you'll be subject to trials all your life and circumstance. And your faith will get barraged all the time. So listen, when everyone heareth the word of the kingdom, verse 19, and understandeth it not, look at this, then cometh the wicked one that catcheth away the word which is sown in their heart. It's not enough to have the word sown in you. You have to understand the kingdom of God. When he said understandeth it not, he's talking about it and understandeth not the operation of the word, the enemy will come and snatch it. We have to not only have it sown, we have to understand how it works. That's why the Holy Ghost has been so thorough in the way he's been teaching us the last couple of years, is understanding how this whole thing works. Because when you understand it, you'll be a whole lot more on guard to keep it. Because my future is right here. It's in this living word that's been deposited. That's where your future is. That's where it's going to break out. Amen? Now, Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Now, Mark 4 talks about the enemy coming in. And I want to read this to you. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I've got so much more to give you today. Let's look at verse 16 through 19. This is talking about the assault of the devil, his kingdom, how he tries to come at the word. He sees verse 16, "These are they likewise are sown on stony ground, who heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, having no root in themselves, so endure for a time. Afterward, affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, and they are what? Offended." They're blockaded, and the word is neutralized in their life. Persecution and affliction. That doesn't work. He switches his tactics. "These are those that are sown among thorns, and such as hear the word," verse 19, "cares of this life, deceitfulness is riches, lust of other things entering in, choke it." Cares of this life, very easy to choke it. That's when you detach from the word. Well, he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will. There's a whole lot we need to learn about how to have a word abiding in me. I have some knowledge abiding in me, Pastor. That's not going to get this done. We're not talking about knowledge abiding in you. We're talking about a living word abiding in your heart. What happens when you go through enough warfare or the lust of other things, when you detach from it and the world starts opening itself to you, guess what? The word becomes unfruitful. So he says, persecution, afflictions, cares of his life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. All right? Now, let's go back. Let's go look at good ground. Everyone say good ground. Look at verse 20. Say, that's me. Now, good ground. Now, let me ask you a question. Good ground. Where was the word sown? So your heart is the ground, is the earthen vessel for which the word is sown into. That's huge. What's going on in here is everything. It's only taken me 15 years of a lot of pain to figure that out. It's all going to happen here, not out here. If you're looking for it out here, you're out of position. The best you're going to get out here is a miracle every now and then. Anybody want to live like that? It's not going to produce season after season. There's a lot of guesswork out here. There's a lot of maybes out here. When you learn to operate in here, there are no maybes. There are no guessworks. You know that you know that you know. Amen? Now, verse 20 says, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, 30, some 30, some 60, some 100. I mean, it sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Hear the word, receive it, bear fruit. Amen? A little bit more involved, especially there's two major processes there, hearing and receiving. Hearing and receiving. But I want to go to the other two because they also add something. Because there's four major dimensions of this. So go back over to Matthew 13 for a minute. There's actually, they're going to give you four major things you're going to have to do with this word. Four dynamics of the operation of this word in the heart. Verse 23, Matthew 13 says, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, he that receiveth the word of the kingdom in good ground is he that heareth the word of the kingdom." Because Matthew told us it was the word of the kingdom in verse 19. He hears the word of the kingdom. He understands the word of the kingdom. Say, hear the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. I'm not just talking to you about a nice little Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study. I'm talking about hearing the word of the kingdom of God, understanding the word of the kingdom. You got to understand how the kingdom works. You got to understand what's going on with that word. You got to hear it the right way. That cancels out about 70-80% of the churches right there. Hear the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. Now, we're going to add that to what Mark said. Mark said, hear the word and receive. Right? So here we got, hear the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. Receive the word of the kingdom. That's three. Say, hear the word. What is the word of the kingdom? What is understanding the word of the kingdom? Here is a little word of the kingdom. I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Thou art my heir. This day I have begotten thee. You can get in the right hand of God. Ascended to the right hand of God, whom Father appointed heir of all things. There is a kingdom. There is a king. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He received an inheritance, ascended into the right hand of God, and he sent that inheritance down to you. See, you're understanding the word of the kingdom, and then you receive that word. That's a jurisdictional deposit. You got to have a revelation. If you don't have a revelation, somebody asked me the other day, he said, well, how do I know what to hold in my heart? Well, I've been holding Mount Hebron in my heart. And Chuck, the Lord told him to go to Luke 9, because he told me, he said, you know, I didn't quite understand that. Holding that word till I just started meditating, started to explode on inside of me. I said, that's the faith in it. That's the life in it. I said, but you had it in the right place. It'll never happen like that in the mind. Your mind has the capacity to expand a word. When it's set into the lampstand of your heart, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. See, it's set upon that lampstand of the heart. When your word is set in there and you hold it there, the life will start multiplying. See, you receive it there. That's why I said, when you pray, enter into your closet. If you don't learn to get in there, you can't operate like this. You don't even know where to hold the word at. Because you haven't been able to even move into a dimension where it's held. That's why I said, shut the door. There's a big room in there. It's a pretty big room. That's a big room in there when you enter in. So he says, you hear the word of the kingdom. If you don't have understanding of the word of the kingdom, that word will be snatched before it even sown. You don't know what to do with it. You don't understand it. You receive. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Two different things. Two different jurisdictions. Believe you receive is in here. Shall have is out here. I'm learning how to receive a bunch of stuff in here. I got a big gate open. At least it's opening this way. Took me 5 days to open that interior gate. Oh, how do you do that? I practice my faith. I get in there with the Holy Ghost, which is my teacher. I said, help me. Show me how to receive a jurisdictional deposit. See, when he brings that revelation, that word's more than just to make you smart. The kingdom's in that word. It's the word of the kingdom. It's a seed that'll unlock the kingdom of God exteriorly through your life. Amen? You got to hear it. The word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. If you don't understand the word of the kingdom, go on our website, Framing Your World. We'll teach you all about the word of the kingdom. Go to that section called Unlocking the Inheritance of the Kingdom Within and just start listening. You'll start understanding how the kingdom works. Amen? Receive it. This is gates. You understand this is jurisdictional gates. The same gate that opens your heart. It says shut the door. It's the same gate the Holy Ghost is bringing the deposit in. He's bringing the deposit. But if you don't know what to do with it, guess what? Generally, right after you get a major deposit, here comes the evil one. What's he coming? He's beelining that word. I just come and snatch that word. Thank you. Just give me that word. You go on about your business. Because that's what makes you dangerous. It's a living word that came out of the right hand of God, brought down by the Holy Ghost, that makes you dangerous to the enemy. If he can't snatch it, he'll blockade it. If he can't blockade it, he'll try to neutralize it or counterfeit it. Hey, let's don't do it this way. That requires faith. Let's go do it this way. Let's go into works. What you can do. Let's get a program running. Let's get a performance syndrome going. Let's get an Ishmael going. As soon as you go Ishmael, the word's neutralized. He says, don't make me go sozo on you. Don't be going Ishmael on me. I did a lot of Ishmaeling in the early days because I was ambitious. See, I didn't know how to do any of this. So I tried it for a little while. I said, oh, that don't work. Got tired of that. Just plugged right into the performance syndrome. Boy, you can get in big trouble. That's part of your training, though, to go through all that. Amen. And you go through the dead ends to find out that don't work. You got to come back. Amen. Let's go to Mark 4 and look at the fourth one. There's some fruit coming. It's going to start multiplying. As soon as David was crowned king in that mountain, he went from Mount Hebron. He was anointed to be a king. The most he ever received was 600 men in the wilderness. And they weren't very high quality. Those are in debt, distressed, broken. He gets crowned in Mount Hebron, and God adds 348,000 men to him. Of the tribe of Zebulun, it said 50,000 men were added from the tribe of Zebulun. He said men that would not break rank, men that were not of the double heart. They are one DNA, single-mindedly DNA, would not break rank. The sons of Issachar sent 200 leaders, had signs of the times. Understand the prophetic dimension. God brought 348,000 just like that as soon as he was crowned in that mountain. That's pretty awesome. When a living word releases out after it's cultivated within, it will do things in your life that you couldn't do in 100 years. It will produce things in your life you could not produce in 100 years. It will cause a marvelous atmosphere to come around your life, and it will create favor for you automatic. You'll be on autopilot when that living word breaks out because the kingdom's within it. What does it say? Out of your innermost being. So we see, we hear the word. We understand the word of the kingdom. We receive the word as a jurisdictional deposit. Luke 8 will give us the final one. Luke 8, verse 15. Same parable. I want to compare this to Solomon's wisdom real quick. But that on the good ground are they. So still talking about good ground here. He leaves out the 30, 60, 100 fold, but he adds something here that's remarkable. He says, but they that are on the good ground are they which are of an honest and good heart, having heard the word and keep it. That's a big word right there. Keep it. You're going to have to be skilled to keep a word. Especially if you don't know how the enemy works. He's coming after it. And he's had a lot of years experience. You're going to have to develop wisdom on how to keep that word. You're not going to keep it if you don't know its value of what's in there. You'll let it escape like that. If you don't hold it dear and understand your whole life and your generations to come can be blessed by what's inside there, if you haven't really understood the word of the kingdom, what's been brought down to you, you won't hold it as a treasure. If you don't hold it as a treasure, you won't keep it. It'll be lost. It'll leak out. It'll be stolen. It'll be neutralized. It'll be blockaded. It takes wisdom
to operate in this kingdom, even though that's simplistic enough. When you go to do it, it's a whole different story. Amen? Hear the word. Understand the word of the kingdom. Receive the word of the kingdom. This is the big phase. Keep the word of the kingdom here. Where was it sown? In the heart. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Everyone say, good preaching. If you know what's in there, you learn to start keeping it. But you're going to have fun with it once you learn to enter into the heart. You try to keep the word out here, you're going to have a hard time. Because you're trying to operate out here. You can be like a yo-yo. Circumstance is good one day, bad the next. It's hard to keep an energized. That's what positive thinkers do. Those positive thinkers, they try to keep an environment of positive thinking. That's some seriously hard work. Sit into the realm of your heart. Shut the door. The enemy can't come in there. The word of God's in there. When you get in touch with it, it'll start growing, exploding, expanding. That's where the faith comes from. You don't have to generate the faith. It's already in there. You just have to get it and keep it. Really, you got to get more experience on holding it, keeping it, and guarding it more than anything, because the faith's already in it. Chuck realized that when he tapped into Luke chapter 9, it started exploding. There's life in that word. I said, wow. My words are spirit and life to those that what? Find them. You're not going to find them in your head. That's just going to give you some knowledge. Amen. All right. Let's look at this. Proverbs 4. I got one gate left. I said, oh God, just one more gate. If I can receive inwardly, it's going to come out. He said when it sprang up 30, 60, 100 fold, where's the ground? Heart. Where's it going to spring out of? Heart. Now you'll understand Solomon's wisdom. He foresaw the whole thing. Proverbs 4, verse 20. He said, my son, attend to my words. Give attendance. Better value them. Incline thine ear to my sayings. You're going to have to hear the word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now, when I first started looking at this, I tried to keep the word in front of my eyes all the time. Got it on my refrigerator, doorpost, walls. You should see my prayer closet. It's everywhere. I was always working my faith out here. Because I didn't understand, really, the eyes he's talking about is that inner eye. It's the eye of faith. It's an inner eye. When you see the word, when I tell you Mount Hebron, you don't say M-T-H-E-B-R-O-N. You see a mountain. You see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. See, your imagination is employed through that word. See, an inner eye of faith sees that. That's the one you don't want to depart from, that eye. Because that's where you're going to operate from. Really, until you get that word engaged in your heart, it won't come alive. When it comes alive, you're going to see it. Not with these natural eyes, with the eye of faith. You're going to see it because it's going to expand. You're going to marvel at it, as a matter of fact. I can get caught up now sometimes for several hours, sometimes 2 or 3 hours at a time, just so caught up. I lose track of time because I'm marveling at the expanse of the word, of the image of the word. You get caught up in it because it's life. What did he say? It's spirit and life. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Keep them. Hear the word and keeps the word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Proverbs 6 says, bind them continually upon your heart. I bind this right here. You won't do this if you don't know what's in it. I'm telling you right now, until you know and understand the word of the kingdom and what's in that word, where it came from, the right hand of God, and why it was placed in your heart, you won't do it. Keep it. I hold it because my future's right here. As a matter of fact, if you've been around a lot of dead ends, you find out what doesn't work, you're going to know this one does. Oh, keep it right here. I keep it. I keep it. I keep it. So he has his heart that's full of the word. You're keeping this place. Now watch what he says. For they are life unto those that find them in the heart. health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It's this heart that's full of this living word he's talking about, not a heart that's full of emptiness. It's not hard to keep a heart that doesn't have anything in it. This word that's on his heart. Now you keep that with all diligence. You hear me, boy? Keep it. You hear me? Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Don't let it depart. Bind it continually. Watch it. You got to have this wisdom. Solomon understood it. Moses understood it. Jesus taught it to us. It's all right there. Your future is set on the lampstand of your heart. Don't let it go. Oh, when you treasure it like that, you'll find it. You'll find the life in it. When you treasure it. If you don't treasure it, it'll escape you and you'll wish and wonder for your whole life. Well, God, one day will come in. One day. Let me tell you something about the covering over this nation. It's been really good to us. But there are forces right now trying to breach that covering. And what may be easy now may not be so easy in the future, where you could be blessed just because of the covering. That covering, there's a force that's trying to breach and break that thing down. You get on this kingdom, start operating in this kingdom like this, it don't matter what and who does what to anywhere, you will be blessed and you will prosper, you will flourish, and you will multiply under any economy, under any system, because this system overrides the systems of this world. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it's going to flow the issue. It's going to spring out the 30, 60, 100 fold. It's going to spring out. It's going to spring out. Everyone put your hand on your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Forgive me for not understanding how this kingdom works. You brought the word of the kingdom. Help me. Help me understand it. Help me keep it. Ah. One more. Go to Mark 4 and we'll close. How many of you getting something today? You know, you don't have to spend a lot of time. You just have to spend time. More importantly, it's not how much time you're spending. It's how skilled you are. Amen. I can go out on the golf course and hit 300 balls and get nowhere. Or I can go out there and hit 20 and hit my mark. It's all a matter of skill. I can bang a club in the ground and chili dip all day long. It didn't help me any. I just chili dipped. But I was out there for 2 hours banging away. Or if I'm skilled, I can hit my target 20 times in a row. Okay, I'm good. You know, if I hit a green 8 out of 10 times, I'm good. You see what I mean? If I'm sky hooking, you get the picture, slicing. I was out on the golf course. I'll tell you the truth. I'm standing here, and there's a guy right here. He's right behind me, and he hits me with his ball. He hits the ball. I'm standing at his side. He must have had his club turned towards me, because by the time he hit it, I'm right next to him. But he did a pretty serious slice and hit me. I turned around and said, dude, I just decided, you know, I have no time for that. I moved down about 5 spaces. I didn't even want to deal with it. Somebody hit the ball like that, the chances are they'll hit you again. It's all about skill. And I had a whelp. It's about skill, my friends. That's why I said when you started, you want to work on getting your heart open. You got to get that door open. You got to enter in the chamber of your heart. There's going to be a lot of fruit coming out of this. A lot of fruit. How do you know? Because I can see it. It's exploding on the inside of me. It won't be able to stay in there very much longer. It's like a pregnant woman. It just breaks. It sits up in that living water inside, you see. It sits up in that fountain. That word sitting up in there, and you're keeping. One day the water breaks. Kabam. Once you give birth from the kingdom, your life, as you know it, will change forever. Forever. Thank God he wouldn't let us go out there and try to build something. Every time I tried to build something like the way everybody else has done, he'd just come in and chop it all down. He said, nope, nope, you don't have it yet. Nope, nope, that's not the way we're going to do it. Nope, not that one either. How about this one? Nope. How about that one? Nope. I don't know what to do. He'll get it. Just let him stay there. He'll get it. We got it. All right, we're closing here. Mark 4, verse 30. Still talking about the same operation of the Word of God, the Word of the Kingdom, sown into the ground. Now watch this. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or this word of the kingdom? How are we going to liken this? Let me show you how this works. Or what comparison shall we compare it? Verse 31. It's like the grain of a mustard seed. What did he say? What did he say over there in Luke 8:11? The seed is the word of God. It's like a grain of mustard seed. It's coming in. The word of the kingdom's coming in as a seed. When it's sown in the earth, where was it sown? The ground, right? Earth, ground. What's the ground? Heart. When it's sown into the heart, it's less than all the seeds that be in there. When it comes in, it's just a seed. It's going to explode in there when you learn to hear it, understand it, keep it. What's the third one? Receive it. Hear, understand, receive, and keep. See, I got it here now. I got it. I got it. I hold it. I hold it. I bind it continually. It's my future. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. Not letting you go. I have it right here. I treasure it. I treasure it. It's sown into the heart, into the earth. It's less than all the seeds that be in there. But when it is sown, when it is understood, when it's received, when it's kept, all of that, when it's not stolen, breached, blockaded, neutralized, counterfeited, it groweth up. What did it say? It groweth up. The life is in it. You don't have to do it. You just got to keep it. It will grow on its own. It becomes greater than all the herbs and shooteth out. I like this one. Shooting out great branches. It shoots out. He blesseth the springing thereof. Out of my heart's cometh a hundredfold inheritance. Out of my innermost being is flowing rivers of living water. Out of my heart's flowing the wellspring. When it breaks loose, your life as you know it will be changed forever. Forever. I got a mountain right now. Oh, it's a mountain of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Caleb, David, Christ. He said, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, an inheritor of my mountains. Jesus inherited that mountain up into the right hand of God. And then he handed that mountain over the Holy Ghost. He says, now take this mountain down in the form of a living word and deposit it in somebody's heart that'll hold it. And if they'll keep it long enough, I'll break that mountain out of their heart, and it will produce a hundredfold inheritance for their generations. And it'll start increasing and multiplying like it did of old. It has the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It has Caleb's 45 years stand of faith in it. It has David's kingly reign in it. All of that inheritance up in that mountain. Question is, what do you have living inside of you? That's going to be the question for your future. What are you holding? What are you keeping? What are you nurturing? What are you receiving? Well, I don't know. I'm just getting up, you know. Going to make a living. Snatched. Going to make a living. Snatched. Word's been snatched out. You have nothing for the Holy Ghost to work with if it's not living in here. Where do you think he's going to bring it from? He brings it out of here. How many are you going to start guarding a whole lot more? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise.